magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, July 18th, 2018. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, even though I don't believe in, what is that? What do we keep our fingers? Oh, it is a cross, though. Maybe there is some good. Okay. Anyways, yesterday, if you were tuned in, you were like thrown off and what's going on and the programming format, this is later than this and this. Yeah, there are some glitches with the technology, and Marianne and I were just finished talking about how this component was needed for 89.3, and I was out there on Sunday fixing it, and it got better, but yet I'm still waiting for this power supply to get us back to full power. And so as we were talking about that, making progress, not realizing that the morning program wasn't shaking hands with all the equipment.
Oh, no.
So the backup, in case these six hands don't shake, there's always the fill-in that the prior week's program will launch and play. Well, the switches didn't switch, and so it didn't take the broadcast. So by the time that was all realized and figured out, I had to preempt SRN News and move Charles Stanley, and depending on whether you're on 89.3 or 102.5, I had to move those forward and then delete Joey Kroll's public service announcement and a couple other 1 and 2 minute programs. So everything shifted about 20 minutes later. So if you listened to the evening re-airing yesterday, then you heard the program in its entirety. And it did go about 26 minutes. Usually it's a 23 minute program. So I did preempt some of the SRN News. But anyways, hopefully today everything will sequence properly. And with the fact that our morning's program re-airs in the evening, has to be recorded, and the fact that it's available on our website, greatnewsradio.org, under the archive programs link, that has to also be saved and stored as an MP3, and so there's a lot of facets.
Is there anything else?
Holy moly. Anyways, it all came together and all resolved, and hopefully by the end of the week, we'll be at full power with 89.3 FM. I called BE on Monday, and they said, oh, we'll send it out in the next day or two, so excited to get that and get that installed and hopefully get us at full power, 50,000 watts, supernatural watts to God's glory, getting that signal out and about. So we hope that'll improve for many of your radio receivers, even though I did mention this yesterday, Jason, that the inclement weather, when there's weather fronts, and it can be 150 miles out, it causes radio frequencies to bounce and skip.
Oh, wow.
And so there was even issues yesterday morning as I was tuning in. It's like, oh, it's sounding really good, and then whoosh. And then there was another station. I was listening to another station, and something came over that one. I'm like, that's what happened. Some of these stations can bounce 200 and 300 miles and interfere for 5 or 6 or 3 minutes. And so we always do pray for more power. You know, if it was up to me, I would crank the transmitter, but that'd be illegal. So you're regulated in how far your signal can go and reach and won't interfere. But we've had other different issues. And weather fronts, you can't control that. So.
Well, speaking of going far, did you see that the article that was written about us dropped out in the Muhammad Daily?
Oh, no. Yeah. He interviewed me, and he said, do you have a picture of you and Jason? And so it was published?
Yeah, at MuhammadDaily.com.
Okay, I got
MuhammadDaily.com. Fred Croner's article dropped on Monday, and it was all over Facebook. I think I shared it on my Facebook post, but all about it's called Burns and Schiffel Follow a Burn in Heart to Israel.
Oh, jeez.
And so it's an article. It kind of highlights some of the past. In fact, let's take a moment and we'll just read it.
It's
pretty short, but it says, traditions all start somewhere. Muhammad area resident Mark Burns is preparing for his 29th pilgrimage to Israel. The 11-day trip is scheduled for early October. The origin of the annual trips can be traced to Burns launching Urbana-based Great News Radio, WGNN and WGNJ, in 1996. The first 3 years were devoted to work, followed by more work. Vacations weren't a part of his life. In 1999, Burns heard from a loyal listener who said, I'd like to send you and your wife somewhere. Burns chuckles at the memory. He was maybe thinking Branson, I think, Burns said. My wife had a brochure for Israel, and the benefactor was receptive. Turns out passports were needed. Burns were part of a group of travelers that spent 12 days in the Holy Land on the journey. Burns took notes, figuring highlights of the trip of Israel could be recounted as part of the station's morning program. He expected to have enough material for a couple weeks. He says 3 months later, we were still telling stories.
True.
And that wasn't all. He received unexpected feedback from radio audience. A listener called and said, if you host a trip, we'll sign up right now. Then another person called, Burns recalled. And that is how this particular tradition, which is now 20 years old, got its start. Subsequent trips have featured between 25 and 74 travelers. Mm-hmm. The upcoming October trip was limited to 35 persons because Burns said smaller groups are easier to manage and make connections with. Mm-hmm. Whenever possible, Burns arranges for the same Jewish guide, Eitan Ratov, who is fluent in four languages, to be the guide and narrator. The 70-year-old Ratov is the perfect host, Burns said, because he's funny, he's historical, he's biblical, and he's interesting. This is the best part of the article right here. Jason Schiffo, the pastor of the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad, has been a regular on trips to Israel since 2011.
A regular teacher.
He'll be in the traveling party for the seventh time in October. Schiffo serves as a spiritual leader during the trips. His original motivation was purely from a historical standpoint. It was passionate about going because of the desire to study the Bible and understanding what actual ground looked like where these things happened, Schiffo said. The experience was a moving one. I've been to Dan in northern Israel, a town where Abraham would have gone through, Schiffo said. The original stones that would have been on the streets were uncovered and stand there. These stones have been stomped on by thousands of people, maybe even Abraham's own feet. The ventures just aren't about sightseeing, which is why some folks have joined the Israel tour more than a dozen times. The trips are multifaceted. Some focus on teaching aspects. Others are geared towards humanitarian work. We've worked at a special needs camp, a soup kitchen cutting potatoes in Jerusalem. A small group of us have given blood to Israeli soldiers. We brought garbage bags filled with teddy bears. We planted trees and painted four or five murals. This is our way of leaving a loving mark. It's also a way to appeal to a broader spectrum of travelers. Some people would say they couldn't spend $3,000 or $4,000 on themselves, Burns says. But when you add the element of humanitarian project and some time to serve, they say they could do that, and it opened up a whole new group of people. The trips are not just open to believers of particular faith. It's all faith backgrounds, says Burns. It's trans-denominational. The preponderance are evangelicals, but we've had Catholic, Jewish, and even some skeptics who are interested in the history. The year the tour was accompanied by 3,000 teddy bears, they were selective about the hospitals they visited and to make distributions. We chose hospitals that were multicultural and have doctors who are Arab, Jewish, Palestinian, and Christian, Burns said. We didn't want to show any preference. The do-gooders were rewarded with the key to the city of Tiberias. Yeah. In April 2008, they were featured in an article in Jerusalem Post Christian Edition. This year's trip, Schiffo said, is more of a teaching trip. My hope is to help people connect deeply with God, he said. No trip is a carbon copy to another, though, Burns said. We work towards ending in Jerusalem in three or four nights. The groups have visited the Golan Heights, sailed on the Sea of Galilee, visited the Garden of Gethsemane, visited the Dead Sea, gone north by Syria and Lebanon, and south towards Egypt. After each trip, we have an evaluation, seeing what we left off or could add, and we always try and add a few new things. The media reports often have stories about tensions in the region, but Schiffo says he's never felt unsafe. What we hear on the news isn't true, Schiffo said. In Israel, you don't feel those things. We were not afraid to go anywhere. We've not been advised by our guide to change our itinerary. What you hear and the reality are two different things. Mm-hmm. The Middle East is often painted in a poor light. We think of terrorism, but the Middle Eastern people are a humble and beautiful people. They love hospitality. They're painted with a broad brush, but it is the wrong brush. They are a beautiful people. Burns believes troubles aren't when the trips need to be discontinued. We felt that when they need us, it was when tourism was down, when people were unemployed. It's when we can come and be a support. By being there and showing our solidarity, we are in encouragement. Schiffo's wife, Tasha, went on the trip with him 4 or 5 years ago, and in October, the couple's oldest son, Jacob, is going to celebrate his 13th birthday in Israel. Jacob's been earning money to cover his portion of the trip. He's been raising money, Jason said. I tell people, I don't want you just to give him money. I want you to help him earn money. Mm-hmm. It's good for his heart to use his hands for what his heart wants to do. Burns orchestrated multiple trips a year for several years, but has reduced it to an annual trip recently. He estimated more than 800 people have joined him over the years on a journey that is more than 6,300 miles from Champaign-Urbana. Ironically, the man who sponsored him on the inaugural trip, who wishes to remain anonymous, has never been one of the travelers. I don't think he knows what he started, Burns said. As the group embarks, there has been one constant. Every time we plan a trip or return from a trip, we always say, this is the last trip. Until we feel God stir our hearts for the next one, it's always the last one. The central theme of the trip, however, never wavers. It's not to convert people, Burns says, but to show love and compassion to them.
Wow, that's excellent.
Isn't it a good article?
Wow. We had maybe three conversations. Were there any photos? Because I submitted a couple.
Oh, yeah, just the one you submitted of you, me, and Janine Keller.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of a fun one. But yeah. I sent them, I think, a group photo and a couple other things. But, wow, I spent, I don't know, a half hour and then a couple other short conversations. Yeah. It was in between things. And he said, oh, I'm at work. I only have a few minutes. And I said, okay, I'll just start talking.
Yeah, I saw it on the Monday, like I said, and I thought, wow, look at this. And I started reading, and I said, this is really a great article.
Oh, it's well put together.
Yeah, and he really kind of touched all the different pieces without taking people into area where, you know, it might be hard to understand or that. I thought he just did a really good job of giving an overview.
And that's this Monday's Muhammad Citizens.
No, MuhammadDaily.com. Oh, but I believe it also will print in either the Citizen or the News Gazette. I don't know. They all share material.
Wow. No, that sounds really good.
I don't even know how Fred got the idea, how Fred even heard about it, because he just called me. I think he sent us an email.
Yeah, and that was a while ago, and I had so many things going on. I thought, they've done enough stories on me or on, you know, our trips and, you know, that one last year, 2 years ago, and I just thought that was front page News Gazette. It was a good story. Yeah. So I didn't do anything, and then...
Same for me. I saw the email, and I thought, you didn't say anything about it. I thought, well, maybe it's just not something. And I thought, I don't really need another thing to do.
Yeah.
And then Fred called me out of the blue last week, I think it was, or maybe the week before. And he said, hey, you got a few minutes? We can talk about this. And then I think I talked for about 20 minutes, you know, just excited. And he had great questions.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, I'm going to talk to Mark, and then, you know, I'll see what happens. And then all of a sudden, Monday, I pop it open, and I go, oh, wow, look, here's the article. Oh, wow, great.
Yeah, send me that link. So you have it on your Facebook or post it?
Yeah, well, I think I shared it into my Facebook. So if you go to my Facebook, you can share it out and probably put it on the radio Facebook. But it is a really great article and kind of just gives everybody a really good snapshot of the history of the Israel trips and then what we're looking at currently. And, hey, I'm a proud papa. I always love when he includes my son in there. So feeling good about that. But
It was funny because one of the calls he made, Larry Bunning was sitting in the studio. And I said, oh, Larry, I got to take this because I've been back and forth with Fred. And the first few times he called, I returned him and we never connected. But Larry was in here and he goes, I know Fred. You know, Larry knows everybody.
Oh, yeah, Larry knows everybody.
He goes, oh, he's a good guy. So I said, hey, Fred, Larry says you're a good guy. And then Larry says you should be on the trip. And then Fred answered. You know, and I'm going back and forth. I said, Larry, if you're willing to pay for it, Fred said he'll go. So anyways. Well done. Wow, he took a lot of information.
Yeah, thanks to Fred, I mean, for, you know, really just highlighting that. And again, it wasn't something we asked him to do. I didn't even know that he wanted to do it until he, you know, we're kind of ankle deep and knee deep into it. So, you know, thanks to our friend Fred Croner over at the MuhammadDaily.com. If you're not a subscriber to the MuhammadDaily.com, it is an online publication. It doesn't have a print thing. And so you just go in, subscribe to it on their website, and it comes into your email box, and it gives you all kinds of information, highlights on the community, things that are happening around the Muhammad area, and then even out into Champaign County. They try and really have a lot of great stories like this, which highlight what people are doing and what people are invested and involved in. And so it's just a great snapshot, more so of the people of Muhammad and the surrounding communities.
MuhammadDaily.com. I'm going to look into that. I just forgot.
Well, and what a lot of people don't know, so here we'll return the favor to Fred, is that Fred's wife owns in the center of Muhammad there a place called the Lucky Moon Pie Company.
Oh, yeah. While we were on the phone, he said, hey, I got to go. I got to deliver some pies or something.
Like, and so if you haven't had a good cinnamon roll lately, you haven't had a good piece of pie, if you need a good cup of coffee in the morning and a sweet treat to go with it, if you want a brownie or they make these great cookies, the Lucky Moon Pie Company in Muhammad, Illinois, Fred's wife is the owner of that establishment, and it is an amazing bakery, a little gem right there on Route 150, right down where 150 and 47 meet by the gas station there, and you will not be disappointed. Not only that, but when you walk in the door, you can say, Fred, thank you for all the great articles that you've written, because Fred's generally there doing some kind of work, helping out.
Well, Larry was saying that he was with the News Gazette for a number of years.
He was.
I mean, he's like quality reporter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm still shocked. I didn't know you were going to share that this morning. I didn't even know it had printed
I didn't know
yet.
Until I opened my Facebook, and I saw it, and I thought, we should talk about this.
Oh, but very well written because, you know, I was telling them facts and information and how it all began and launched and the humanitarian element and, you know, that I had done different trips. And the only thing I got wrong, and I think I told them it, that this one's actually going to be my 28th trip, not the 29th. Because I was looking at the one that...
When you get up to those numbers, Mark, yeah, I think you're allowed a little Alzheimer's in your answer, because...
kind of a blur, but I was thinking that the story they did that said 27th, it was the front page of the News Gazette, I guess 2 years ago, was the 27th trip, and then we only had... And then we did, I think then that's this one. Yeah, that was the last one we did. This is the longest I've been between trips.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this is number 28. And, you know, thank you, God, for the ability to be able to do these as a service of this ministry. And I should point out that no radio donations, no radio funds go into these trips. They're all self-contained by those that are going on the trip. They pay the full costs. And so, you know, there's never any blurring of radio ministry donation dollars going on to these trips. They're all self-contained and they're paid for by those going on the trip. But anyway.
Yeah, we know that at our house because my son is the one who's raising his... I told him, I said, you know, your mom and I'll put a little bit of money into this to kind of help cover it, but you're the one who has to raise the money. And just as the article said, I said, Jacob, I will not allow you to just receive the money kind of willy-nilly. I want you to work for it. I want you to know what it means to work for it. And so he's had this, his business model, I love it, is I'll do whatever you ask me to do, and you decide what it's worth. and you know what? I would say that it's been great because, you know, it allows him to go and work hard and allows people to move their hearts in terms of generosity. But he has a little more to raise. So if there's anybody out there in listening earshot who needs some things done at their house, needs some work done, get in touch with us. We would love to have Jacob come out and do a little bit of work so he can finish earning the rest of his money for his Israel trip. He is super excited. And I'm going to tell you what, it's kind of funny. Maybe this is self-deprecating, but whatever. A lot of people have been really, really creative in how they do this. Mm. And so one woman called him and she said, listen, I don't have any work that needs to be done around my yard, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to write me a 1,000-word report on something that you're excited to see in Israel.
Hmm.
And so Jacob wrote this whole 2-page report on Masada, all the history of Masada, the history of that area, what happened then during Masada, the siege, inserted some photos into his report and gave it to the woman, and she paid him to write this report.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was really kind of a neat way for him to actually learn something and flex his mind. And so I was really kind of excited by that because he can go and push a lawnmower and he can go and pick up leaves, and he's done a bunch of that. But this was a way that he actually learned about something that he was going. So I was kidding him. I said, you know, now when you're there, you know, you could test Eitan's facts because you got the facts now.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you're going to be able to do this better, but Jacob Arnold.
Yeah. He's, you know, and that's the other thing. No. A lot of people have been saying.
Do an accent for me. Do it,
yeah.
Arnold.
Yeah. It's time for you to mow the lawn. Yes. You're going to have to get out there and flex their muscles, Jacob.
Hey, Larry Bunning was saying, Jacob, he's bulking up all this work he's been doing, these lawns and everything. He's getting to be a big, strong kid. He's 13, right?
Yeah, you know what? And my wife and I were joking the other day because we said, you know, it's kind of biting us in the butt. Because we said, you know, hey, we'll pay for a certain amount of your trip, but we can't afford to pay for the whole trip. And we know your passion. We know you want to go. It's really special for him that we're going to be there on, you know, we actually charted on the last day we're there is when he celebrates his 13th birthday on the 12th.
So he's 12 now.
Yeah, he's 12. So he'll be 13. In Jewish culture, 13 is that magical age, you know, where you become a man. He's going to be in Israel. He's going to celebrate it when we have our Abu Ghosh meal, that last final meal. I mean, it's going to be just kind of a big time for him. But I said, look, you got to raise this money. You got to be the one who does this stuff. And so my wife and I were laughing because my wife said, well, you know, it's because we can't afford it. But this is costing us more money feeding this kid now. Because he's getting bigger and bigger, and he's getting stronger, and he's, you know. And so now it's like when he sits down, you know, you put the biscuits and gravy in front of him, he's like, I've already eaten this. Yes. I need another helping. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. I'm like, the other night, what did he eat the other night? Oh, my gosh. He had these biscuits and gravy, and he ate two. It was kind of, we call it in our house, the free range night, mm-hmm. where nobody really, so everybody's just eating leftovers or making a little something for themselves, but, you know, nobody, there's not a meal per se, but we're all still eating together. And so he had heated up these biscuits and gravy we had. He had two big plates of it. You know, four biscuits, tons of gravy. And all of a sudden, I see him look in the kitchen, and he says to his mom, he goes, "Are you making the spaghetti?"
Yes.
"I'd like a bowl of that."
Yes.
And then he starts eating the spaghetti, and I'm just looking at him. I'm like, "What are you doing?" I'm eating like a little chicken breast and a little pile of rice, trying to, you know, keep healthy and be on the earth as long as I can. And he's just like, "Is there anything else I could eat? Yeah. I'm starving."
This is where he needs to find a girlfriend, so he goes over to her house and eats
I'm
out of house and
home. I'm telling you. So we thought it wasn't going to cost us a lot to go to Israel, but this kid is eating. And then I even told my wife, I said, "Oh my gosh, we're going to have to rethink the budget while he's in country." Because I could just imagine, "Is that the falafel over there? I need one of those. Some shawarma sandwich. Give me one of those."
I must try it all.
I know. I'll be like, "Oh my gosh, look at this kid go."
Yeah, well, yeah, a separate budget. So if you have some yard work or something that you want done in the next few weeks, actually next few months, I'm sure he can work
Reach out, and he would love to get that. We'll drive him out there wherever you're at, and he'll do that work for you. He's a good little worker. And again, the deal is you pay him what you want to pay him, whatever you believe it's worth to have him there. Everything is a blessing because it gets him to go to Israel. But really, more than anything, I want to close out the program again by just saying thanks to our friend over there at themuhammaddaily.com, Fred Croner, for writing such a great article, just highlighting how God is moving through these Israel trips and how God is historically move through the 28 trips, and how we really believe with our whole heart that when this group goes of 35 in October, God is going to yet again move. He is mm-hmm. going to somehow draw these people closer to his heart, knit us together, and have us see Jesus maybe even in a new way as mm-hmm. we walk the land. And so thank you, Fred, for all that you do and for your hard work.
Yeah, and he's right. When people have already asked me, "What are you doing for 2019? I said, "There's no trip plan. There's no dates or anything." I said, "What's typically happened, at least the last 5 or 10 years, especially the last 7 or whatever years that you've been joining me, we don't have a trip planned, but we pray it up." And it seems like the catalyst within a few weeks, this last trip, you almost had a theme upon returning, which was very unusual. Before that, we didn't even talk about the trip for about a year or something. We just felt like God hadn't stirred in our hearts. But there's always an intentionality or a theme or a very specific reason to go. And so we don't have one for 2019 yet, but there tends to be a stirring. Once we get there and people are focused and worshiping and praying, and, you know, something just comes together. But, this is the only one that I know of right now. Yeah, there'll probably be one in 2019, but that's up to God and placing on our hearts. So, all right, everyone. Well, MuhammadDaily.com, MuhammadDaily.com. You can find out more interesting things and a little recap by Fred Croner on our trips to Israel.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.